ongoing dialogue of the God Journey podcast. Many of us are waking up to God's not a formula to be worked. He's a God who loves us, who has a purpose in the world to redeem it back to himself, who will work good in our lives through the most horrible things that we face.
When we first started this whole podcast thing, you and I were trying to come up with a name. I just remember somehow the whole God Journey thing settled.
And we've had people tell us that was a stupid name.
Those just few words say an awful lot of true things. This is my journey. This is just my deal, my little story. It's not about me. I am just a supporting actor in a greater drama. It isn't about me.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson. Well, I guess Brad isn't here today. And in fact, he's not. Sorry to be so brief with you here. I know a lot of you want to hear a bit about my trip to Europe, and we'll get to it at some point. If you've read my blog of late, you'll notice that I've just gotten back from Europe and have fallen into quite an experience with the passing of one of my closest friends on the planet. I'll be doing the service tomorrow. Needless to say, my head's not in a place to even try and do a podcast. My schedule didn't even overlap with Brad, who left Thursday for Nashville. So that'll come as a shock to you that are there, saying, well, he's in Nashville, how can we see him? And I don't have the foggiest idea. I didn't even know he was going. He's in some meetings there, but they're private meetings with people kind of thing. He's not doing any kind of presentations that I know about, so I guess that's why his trip's not out there for everybody to be aware of. He also had an experience this week with his dad going through emergency heart surgery, so we've been a bit busy around here. We haven't had time to put anything together. I know some of you are dying to hear about Ireland and Europe, and we'll get to that. It's just not the time or place today. What I am going to do is let you listen to an interview that I taped while I was on this trip to Europe, and in it we talk a little bit about some of the things that happened in Ireland, but we'll flesh that out a bit more in weeks to come. I want to introduce you to a man named Stan Firth. He's written a book called Custom and Command, a little booklet that many, many people have read. And we'll talk about that as well in the course of the interview. He's an older Scottish man, a former pastor. He and his wife have gone on an incredible journey. I met him once before and now had a chance to actually interview him and talk about some of his journey. I think you'll find it a real blessing. We're just going to let it be what it is. Brad and I won't be on the backside of it, but pray it will be a blessing and an inspiration to you. And look forward to getting back to a more regular God journey next week. God bless. Well, Stan, welcome to the God Journey. We met, 3 or 4 years ago. I don't even remember for sure.
Yes.
I was traveling about England and heard about you and a little book you'd written, and we'll get to the book in a moment. But I found your story so fascinating, just where God led you from Scotland and on. Tell me a little bit about your story and what God's done in your life.
Well, I suppose from some points of view, some people would consider it a great hodgepodge of of life. Both Mavis, my wife, and I were brought up as Presbyterians in the Church of Scotland.
You sound a bit Scottish.
Oh yes, I'm Scottish. We live in London now, but I am Scottish. I suppose I always had an awareness of Jesus. I always knew that he was the kind of key to life. I was brought up to, you know, to go to church, and I always knew that he was the key to life, but I didn't really, nothing really gelled for me till I did my national service in the Air Force. And I went along to the church there, which was a Church of England church, and the padre there was reality about him. He knew Jesus as a person. I didn't. I just knew being good and going to church. I didn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I met Jesus there. So I was actually about 20 when I met Jesus,
wow,
really, in that respect. I became a school teacher, a high school history teacher. I did a history degree and became a high school teacher. But when I got into my early 30s, I began to feel that God was calling me into what, I'm saying it in inverted commas, the ministry.
Yeah.
You know, it was the way I saw at the time of serving the Lord. I feel now that every Christian is in the ministry, or should be,
yep,
if you put it, because that's what it is, serving the Lord. But that's what I felt at the time. And so I went and I trained as a Church of Scotland minister. Now, by this time I had married, and so Mavis and I went together into our first church. But then I became uncomfortable about infant baptism, and I felt strongly at the time that I would be more comfortable. I've always looked for reality in Christian things, and there was something that bugged me about infant baptism. So I applied to the Baptist Church and was accepted, and went to the very interesting church in St. Andrews, you know, the golfing St.
Andrews. Oh, do I know golfing so, well? Yes. I'd love to get to St. Andrews.
Yes, well, let me make you just jealous for a minute or two. When we were in St. Andrews in the 70s, because we were living in the town, we got playing on any of the championship courses for £12 sterling per annum.
Oh, my, my. Okay.
That's probably not relevant
I'm
to
done now, yeah. I can't go any further now, Stan. Oh, that sounds great.
You can edit all that out if it's irrelevant.
Oh, no, I think people are interested. Absolutely.
Anyway, that was great. The church was always packed, not because I was a fantastic preacher, but because you either had the students at St. Andrews University, Scotland's oldest university, there in term time, and then when they went away, all the golfers and holiday
all
makers
the summer
came,
people.
So
yeah.
That was great. And then moved down to South London to a church there, another Baptist church. But I had been touched by the Holy Spirit when we were in our first church, and I knew that to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit was a very key thing. And I didn't, possibly it was my attempt to explain, all the leadership of this church understood this, but I don't know that the people did, and somehow I failed to communicate this properly, and therefore I didn't feel, I wanted something more, I wanted a greater freedom in the Spirit, and so I gave up being a minister or a pastor, and went back into teaching. It wasn't easy at first because I had no job at first and no house, three teenage children at that time, and it was quite demanding. But
quite
the Lord
a risk,
provided
yeah.
in a wonderful way.
And was your wife pretty much in sync with you
through
all this?
Oh, that's been one lovely thing. We've always just been in sync. Each of these moves, it was not me saying, oh, let's press on, or her saying, let's press on. We always saw it together.
So you had similar hungers.
Yes.
And you were
did.
Willing to take some risks to follow those hungers and not
Absolutely.
Just stay where you were safe.
That's
or at least where it has the illusion of safety, obviously.
Yes, but it didn't seem at the time. It seemed the only course ahead. It didn't seem at the time, oh, let's take this fantastic risk.
Right.
It just seemed that we've got to get out of traditional church life and into something which is a stronger awareness of the Holy Spirit. Well, we had 10, we eventually moved to a fellowship in South London called the Cheam Fellowship, and we had 10 very happy years there, and people there, everybody there seemed to be open to the moving of the Spirit, so that when there was in the what they called the worship services, I mean, nowadays I have a different view of worship.
Yeah, all the terms change, don't they?
Yes,
I mean, ministry's
right.
different, worship's
that's
different.
It, yeah. Yes, worship services.
Why do you think that is? Do you think we put these terms on things?
Well, I haven't thought about particularly why we make these mistakes. I just know that it's true that I've changed. I mean, now I see worship just as a response to suddenly realizing the Lord has done something wonderful, and that could happen in a supermarket, or it could happen and it can happen when you're singing songs
together,
it can happen
yeah.
but there's no direct relationship between just singing songs suddenly realizing how lovely and wonderful the Lord is.
Is this about the time you were thinking through the things that you put into custom and command?
Yes I suppose. Once I was at the Charismatic Fellowship, I started to think of these things.
Okay.
But then this lovely Now, I don't want to criticize this that fellowship, because it had many lovely aspects to it. But like I think all charismatic or most charismatic fellowships, it moved, or I think they moved away from a dependence on the Spirit and moved into a dependence on human leadership. I mean, it's true enough that when we were depending on the Spirit, sometimes mistakes were made and sometimes silly things were said in worship services and so on.
But
and
God people, still moved.
Yes, God still moved.
In those
that's
things.
Right.
Yeah,
and I realize now it was sad that we gave up that because we were afraid something bad might happen and we had put a grip, the leadership grip on things. And I began to feel it wasn't to be like that. And we just felt, now of course we then met people, especially Eleanor and Bruce Dick, who now live here in Ireland, but at that time were living very close to us and walking distance to us in Cheam. And they had moved out of Truck Saints, and at first we said, this can't be right, goodness me, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. And we felt it couldn't possibly, but as we observed their life, and as we became increasingly unsure about what we were in, we moved closer and closer to moving out ourselves, until at last we just moved out of the church scene. Now our son, we're three of a family, two sons and a daughter, all in their 30s, and all in their 30s. This time, and at this time they were in their 20s, but our son, our elder son, was very upset. He thought this was a terrible come down. First of all, I'd stopped being a pastor, which was bad enough, and gone back to being a mere school teacher, and now I wasn't even a churchgoer. And he was very, I mean, genuinely upset. So he's a lovely guy, you
right.
know, and he was genuinely upset. So I thought I'll write a little kind of two or three pages to explain it all. Because as I went on and tried to explain it properly, it ran into quite a few pages. But I just typed it out on my word processor. I didn't even have a computer at this time. Typed it out in the word processor and gave it to him and distributed it to a few friends. But the friend said, hey, this is exciting. This really puts into words something that we all feel. You should get this printed. And some of them, I mean, we put down some of our own money, and some of them put down some money, and we got a couple of thousand copies of it.
Of Custom in Command.
Custom in Command. And at the back, sorry.
Sum up what the title means for people. I know a lot of people who are listening have heard of your book. Probably many of them have read it. But for those that haven't, what would you say, what is the Custom in Command? What's it referring to?
Well, it's referring to the fact that in church life, or in our life together, a lot of the things that we do are because of commands of the Lord. You know, Jesus has said, this is what I want, and therefore we do it. But a lot of the things we do are actually just our customs, or our own ways of putting into action the commands of the Lord. But they may not be the only possible ways for putting it into action. I mean, worship would be an example. It says in the Bible, worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, etc. But how you do it is not laid down. It doesn't really say you've got to do it at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, really. So I feel that there are a lot of, this was really a book to defend those of us, probably don't need defending, but to defend those of us who are, or to explain what we're doing.
Explanation is probably a better word.
Yeah, a better word, that's right.
Yeah.
And I was explaining that because we don't, say, go to a church regularly every week, That's a custom. It's not actually a command. And I mean, went into detail and showed in the scripture that this is not really the case, that this is commanded.
You've just recently published a new edition of this, haven't you?
I have, yes.
And it's at lulu.com, is
that's
that
right. You just type in www.lulu.com.
That's L-U-L-U.
That's right.
And you can order it from them. It's a publishing
right.
on demand anywhere in the world. And
anywhere in the world.
Easily.
They just put in custom on command and they're search for
yep.
that,
and you'll get there,
and you'll follow on from there, and you'll get it.
How would you see the scripture then? You talked about forsake not the assembling of yourselves, not applying just to Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, being in your pew. How do you see that scripture now?
That's a fair question. Well, it's important to look at the scripture. I need to go over and get my Bible over there. But
I think we know it.
Yes, but if you look at the verse before, it says. Why you're assembling yourselves together, it's to encourage one another and to stir one another up to good deeds. That's what you're doing. Now, that's what you're to assemble for, to encourage one another. It doesn't say go do it to be encouraged by the pastor, to be encouraged by the teacher. It doesn't even mention worship. It says nothing about worship. What it says is assemble, which just means gather together. See, in the word assemble, people think it's got to be like some giant assembly, like
right.
the House of Lords or the House of Commons or even a Brethren assembly or something like that, a school assembly. But it just means gather together. It's the same word as Jesus used about the hen gathering the chicks,
yeah.
you know. And Jesus, of course, says where two or three are gathered together. It's the same Greek root. It's not exactly the same word there, but it's the same Greek root. Where two or three are gathered together.
I like what someone said about that. Read recently said that the gathering together, like the hen and the chicks, is first to him. It's not we're gathering
that's
to
right.
each other.
That's right.
We're being gathered to him.
That's right.
And in being gathered to him, we find each other there.
That's right.
And I love that kind of.
And but when you gather, what the verse in Hebrews says, when you gather to encourage one another. Now, many church services don't give any opportunity to encourage one another. You may be encouraged by the pastor, but you don't get a chance to encourage one another. And it's to stir one another up to good works and encourage one another. So
to follow, and it illumines Jesus in our heart. I think the thing that we go away from encouraged is, for me, that Jesus really is as big as he says he is,
mm-hmm.
that he really can guide. It's not I've got to go away and do more works for him.
No.
It's that, man, I find we're part of an interesting gathering here in Ireland now that we're here. You're from England, I'm from the States, and we had people yesterday meeting in a field with a tent set up of folks from I don't know how many countries, must have been a dozen or so countries.
Certainly, yes.
Come from all over the world. A gathering that really spontaneously originated. Nobody put a conference together.
Right.
Just people started inviting folks, and others said, hey, I want to come along.
Mm-hmm.
What went through your heart yesterday as we were in that field eating and talking and sharing?
Well, the whole weekend has been lovely because people have naturally wanted to share Jesus with one another. They've naturally wanted, or maybe supernaturally wanted to talk about the impact of Jesus in their lives and to encourage one another in that way by, you know, I've been greatly encouraged by hearing the adventures, if you like to put it that way, the adventures of other people in which the Lord was really the leading character in these adventures. I've been greatly
That's
encouraged
lovely.
By that.
Oh.
Yes.
It was such a wonderful time yesterday. One of the things I reflect on, you go to so few gatherings where the purpose isn't something up front, whether it's music or
right.
a teacher or whatever. Sometimes I'm even that teacher. I know that you are. I know that you mm-hmm. share a lot of what God's done in your life. But to get together, the only thing that gathered us together yesterday was certainly the Lord. The Lord mm-hmm. was a big part of that. But what we were celebrating is the relationships He had given us and all the cross relationships that were in that room or in that field. I thought about a young couple that's just moved to England from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in touch with a couple in South Africa who happens to be here at this, who I happened to meet a couple of years ago when I was in South Africa. This young couple lives not far from you, I gather.
That's right.
So through all that, they got a chance to meet you. You referred them to the couple I was just with in Bournemouth, the UK.
That's
so
right.
They came down and met me and met John and Jenny.
Yes.
And then I'm back here with the couple from South Africa and you, mm-hmm. who is all part of making those connections. And you just, I came away yesterday with just how amazing Jesus is mm-hmm. at connecting a body. Without us having an official mailing list, mm-hmm. without us having a directory of some kind, it really is relationship to relationship mm-hmm. that God just is knitting this family together. And that's, I was saying yesterday, just going, because I'm watching some of my best friends in this kingdom get to know some of the other of my best friends in this kingdom,
yes,
and
okay.
who have never met before. And now they're in the same place at the same time. And I've had such joy watching these people.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace each other, start sharing their stories, and you see what you just said. Man, your adventure dovetails with my adventure. It's not the same, mm-hmm. but it's the same Jesus beyond it. I was moved to tears yesterday a number of times. Mm-hmm. Just the joy of sitting in this place, watching it go mm-hmm. on all around, and no one was trying to control it, and we all had to focus on the same thing. There were 50 conversations going mm-hmm. on in the place all at the same time. It was just lovely.
But you see, even today, yesterday, you see, some people that I know would have approved of yesterday,
yeah,
even though it wasn't quite their thing, because it was pouring, typical Irish weather, we met in a big marquee in someone's garden.
And it was Sunday.
In someone's field.
And
it
was right
Sunday, you see. So they might have approved of that. But today, what we did was we went a bus tour round some interesting places in Ireland. And one of our brothers, who is by profession a tour guide, gave us an interesting talk as we went along. But we talked across the bus aisle. We talked and we changed seats
yep.
so that we could sit beside different people. And then we got to one of Ireland's stately homes, and we were shown round that. But we had a cup of coffee and a lovely scone there, and we sat at the table. Now, when I sat at the table there, I was sitting, I wouldn't say how ancient Mavis and I are, but we are senior citizens, and there was...
When you said you had 30-plus-year-old children, I think you gave some things away.
<right. laughs> But we were talking to an Irish chap, whom we've known, but he's a bit younger than us, you know, and a young man from Sweden who's in his 20s. And that was the four of us that were at this particular table.
Yeah.
And we were just able to talk about, and I hope maybe encourage that young man, talk about how the Lord had led in tricky situations in life, you know.
Yeah.
And it was encouraging to hear, and encouraging to hear what he had to say. Now, to me, that's church.
Absolutely.
That's church. I came away from the coffee table inspired.
Yeah, I sat at a table, five people. I'm from the States, brother from South Africa, brother from Zimbabwe, brother from England, and a brother
mm-hmm.
from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so, we didn't talk about anything earth-shattering revelations.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about our lives and what
That's
God's
right.
done
yes.
and what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we went on the tour, some went on the tour, some didn't. Some stayed in the coffee shop, kept talking.
Mm-hmm.
Others went for a walk outside.
Mm-hmm.
It was the freedom just to let the day unfold and move in and out of there. I loved it. What a great
mm-hmm.
day today
mm-hmm.
was.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a whole week of that kind of
but
thing going on.
There was nothing church. I mean, you could almost say it was slightly churchy yesterday, but it wasn't churchy today.
I wouldn't say it was churchy yesterday,
no,
either, but I know what you're saying.
It wasn't.
I know exactly
it wasn't
what you're saying, and people would say a little more sanctioned event,
yes.
Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on a new book now. I know it's a little bit of ways off before you're done. Would you want to kind of whet our appetites a little bit, what you might be working on?
Yes. It's really a kind of prophecy, really. God gave me a picture 17 years ago. And he said to me, he pointed to a true, some true events that had happened back in the 20th century. And I was reading a book about that. And he pointed to these events and he said, look at the people in that story. That's what I want you to be like in the future, and that's what I want all my people to be like in the future. I'm not say what the picture was exactly, but just now.
That's good. You just whet your appetite.
Yes, yes. But and so I started to write the book there and then. This is 17 years ago. I started to write this book there and then. It never got off the ground. There was something wrong about it. It just didn't fit the picture of the organized church, the institutional church. And I just had to give it up. And so I just left it there. Although I felt God had strongly laid this in my heart, I just left it there. But But then, once I moved out of the church and wrote, once I wrote Custom Canned, I began to get letters back from people. And I began to see that people were all having the same experience. And nobody wrote to me and said, oh, your book made us change our mind. The people who wrote said, your book just describes what God laid on our heart, and you've just put it into words for us. And I began to realise that there was building up throughout the world a great body of people who were not an institutional church, but who loved Jesus and were determined to serve him and delighted to serve him. And then I suddenly saw that this is what the picture was about. The picture was about a non-institutional church. A church, the church, I believe in the church, but it was a non-institutional church. Now, can that be? Well, I believe I've received a picture of that, and I want to pass that picture on. And as I went on through this picture, it gave me a tremendous amount of encouragement and a tremendous amount of challenge, and I want to pass on not just the picture, but the challenge and the encouragement.
Have you got a name for this book yet or not?
Well, I don't know if it'll mean much.
It's just the working title, yeah?
It's called The Remarkable Replacement Army.
Wow.
And it's about a true story, where an army, not a belligerent army, but a defensive army, just failed when there was a tremendous onslaught from a very evil enemy. It just failed. And the king of that country just reorganized something else, quite informal, and that played an amazing part. The king was chased away from his country, but until the day the king came back, that army represented him in his country. And I believe it's a picture of what's going to happen until our king comes back.
That's neat. And before we end this, I just want to ask you one more question. What would you say to someone who's where you're at, where you were at maybe 20 years ago, I don't know how long it was for you, but where you begin to say, this is not meeting the hunger of my heart, and maybe a little scared to step away from things they found security in? What would be on your heart? Anything to encourage that person who might be listening to us right now, just saying, man, I'm seeing some things, but I'm scared to let go of what I feel comfortable in? Anything on your heart?
Well, I would say, don't change until you've got conviction from God about it. Sometimes it's possible you say, oh, that's a good idea, I'll change over to that, I'll give that a go. I don't think that's going to work. You have to wait until you say, yes, Lord, I see it. This is what you're calling me to. But I would also say, don't brush your discomfort under the carpet. You know, if you are feeling this is not satisfying me, keep asking the Lord to show you what's ahead, what's the next step. I mean, that's how we've to live anyway. Lord, what's the next step? But act in the conviction of the Lord. Act in the...
Don't follow what other men are saying.
That's right.
Really listen to Him.
That's right.
That's good. You know, brother, we've spent a day together when I was at your house. You met me at a train station in London a few years ago, and we've had a couple of days here. One of the great joys I experience, I think, in this church that Jesus is building is the instant sense of identity and camaraderie. And we were together 10 minutes, and I knew I'd found a brother. Mm-hmm. I knew I'd found a brother of similar heart and spirit. Mm-hmm. And God's led us on different journeys. Maybe we're still thinking different things today, but we love the same Father. Mm-hmm. And I have really enjoyed the encouragement my life has gotten from you. And I want to thank you for taking time to do this. And I want to bless you and Mavis. Just may God carry you on to all the things He has for you, and grace this book to be done when He's ready for it to be done, and everything comes together. So God's blessing to you.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,